It's been over 12 years since we were introduced to Hadestown by Anais Mitchell, singer, songwriter, playwright, and musician hailing from Vermont. Tonight, we'll revisit our conversation with Anais Mitchell that happened so many years ago. Last week, Hadestown won 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Hey, little songbird, give me a song. I'm a busy man and I can't stay long. I got clients to call, I got orders to fill, I got walls to build, I got riots to quell, and they're giving me hell back in Hades. Hey, little songbird, cat got your tongue. Always a pity for one so pretty and young. When poverty comes to clip your wings and knock the wind right out of your lungs. Hey, nobody sings on empty. Strange is the call of this strange man. Fly down and feed at his hand. I want a nice, soft place to land. I want to lie down forever. Hey, little songbird, you got something fine. You'd shine like a diamond down in the mine. And the choice is yours if you're willing to choose. Seeing as you got nothing to lose, and I could use a canary. Suddenly, nothing is as it was. Where are you now, Orpheus? Wasn't it always the two of us? Weren't we birds of a feather? Hey, little songbird, let me guess. He's some kind of poet and he's penniless. Give him your hand, he'll give you his hand to mouth. He'll write you a poem when the power's out. Hey, why not fly south for the winter? Hey, little songbird, look all around you. See how the vipers and vultures surround you, and they'll take you down. They'll pick you clean if you stick around. Such a desperate scene. See people get mean when the chips are down.
Anais Mitchell here in our studio at New Hampshire Public Radio with a little preview from the soon-to-be-debuted folk opera Hadestown. Welcome to The Folk Show, Anais.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
So you want to tell us about that one?
Yeah, sure. That was a duet between Hades, the king of the underworld, and Eurydice.
Whatever made you decide that you were going to do this? Was this your idea?
Yeah. It was my idea, but it sort of came out of the sky as well. So I don't take full credit for it. The show is called Hadestown. Obviously, Hades, like the king of the underworld, and it's based on the Orpheus myth, which I'll recap real quick for our listeners. Orpheus is the great lyre player, the son of a muse, and his music is rivaled only by the gods, and he has the power to like move inanimate objects with his music and bring stones to tears and things like this. And his wife on their wedding day is tragically bitten by a snake, and she goes to the underworld, and he's so distraught that he goes down there after her and tries to win her back through the power of his songs. And he first wins over Persephone, the wife of Hades, and she appeals on his behalf to Hades, and then Hades listens to his music and says he can have his wife back as long as he can walk out of the underworld with his wife following behind him and not turn around to check to see that she's there, kind of like Lot's wife style. And of course, at the last minute, he turns back and loses her forever. So that's the myth.
What compelled you to put this together?
Well, like I said, some of the songs sort of just came out of nowhere, and I was like, well, what's that about? And they seem to be about this story, and I've always admired the story, I suppose because I'm a musician. It's sort of the narcissistic dream of every songwriter to write the Orpheus story again, because the hero is this great musician. and I suppose that for me, the inspiring part of the story is like that the underworld is a place where the rules are the rules. You know, you can't get a dead person back. And in our version of the show, it doesn't really represent the land of the dead so much as a lifeless world. It's a world where people are numbers, and it doesn't matter who you are, you know, and what kind of song you can sing. Make your voice heard. And Orpheus is this crazy optimistic figure who believes that, as you know, many, I suppose, musicians and writers and artists of all kind, that if they could just make something beautiful enough, maybe they could get through to someone. Maybe they could throw a wrench in the gears of that machine. So
Anais Mitchell is our guest here in the studio at New Hampshire Public Radio on The Folk Show. How about playing another one for us, then we'll come back and talk about the players.
Sure, okay. So I just played that duet, Hey Little Songbird, which is, I guess I should just say that in our version, Eurydice doesn't get bitten by a snake, but she sort of has her back against the wall in terms of she's hungry, and the world she's living in above ground is semi-uninhabitable. But she makes the decision to go to Hadestown, and this song comes right after that duet. If I could remember how to play it on the guitar, she has the first verse where she's singing to Orpheus about her decision, and he's fast asleep. And then the Fates come in with a little verse, and then the Fates are the ones that sing the bulk of the song. So, Orpheus, my heart is yours, always was and will be. It's my gut I can't ignore. Orpheus, I'm hungry. Oh, my heart, it aches to stay, but the flesh will have its way. Oh, the way is dark and long. I'm already gone. I'm gone. Go ahead and lay the blame. Talk of virtue, talk of sin. Wouldn't you have done the same? In her shoes, in her skin. You can have your principles when you've got a belly full, but hunger has a way with you. There's no telling what you're gonna do when the chips are down. Now that the chips are down, what you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. Life ain't easy, life ain't fair. Girls gotta fight for a rightful share. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. Take if you can, give if you must. Ain't nobody but yourself to trust. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down. Oh, my aching heart. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down.
help yourself to hell with the rest, even the one who loves you best. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down, what you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down, aim for the heart, shoot to kill. If you don't do it, then the other one will. What you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down, what you gonna do when the chips are down? Now that the chips are down, and the first shall be first, and the last shall be last. Cast your eyes to heaven. You get a knife in the back, nobody's righteous, nobody's proud, nobody's innocent. Now that the chips are down, now that the 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 chips are down.
Anais Mitchell here in the studio at New Hampshire Public Radio, and that's one from the latest folk opera, Hades Town. Now, of all the characters in this opera, who do you relate to the most? Is it Orpheus?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, yeah, in some ways it's Orpheus. I have a different relationship with all of the characters. It's funny, I found... Oh, and by the way, I play Eurydice, so I'm the one who gets bitten metaphorically by the snake and goes to the underworld. And so I feel like I've sort of gotten into her head a lot just because I'm singing her songs. But I found that in writing the show, you know, the easiest character to write was Hades for some reason. I think there was something about him and what he stood for in this telling of the story that was just really easy to put into words. And Orpheus' character is the trickiest one, I think, because I suppose the pressure's on because he's supposed to be this amazing poet and musician. But also I think that his way of relating to the other characters in the show is much more emotional and less sort of cerebral, the way that Hades is. And that's sort of hard to write. The score is really beautiful. I'm so excited about it. It was written by my friend Michael Chorney, who produced a couple of my records. And this is kind of his forte, is this kind of instrumental arrangement.
This has been long in the making, hasn't it? How long has this project been going on for you?
Oh, man, a really long time. Yeah. Well, it's... I mean, it's, of course, not 24/7, but we did put up an initial version of the show last year in a couple of towns in Vermont, and that was the first, our sort of first stab at it. And that was almost exactly a year ago. But before that, I suppose I'd been working on the songs for a couple of years, not full on. It was sort of like I would start to write a song, and then I'd think, is this song for me, or is this a song for the opera? And it might be an opera song, and then I'd sort of set it aside.
Anais Mitchell, along with being this composer who's working on a folk opera, has also just not too long ago released an album called The Brightness. It's on the Righteous Babe record label. That's Ani DiFranco's label. And also has another album, Hymns for the Exiled, and a self-titled album as well. Is that right before that on Waterbug?
I have a secret album, which...
It's like a hidden track.
Yeah. No, it was called The Song They Sang When Rome Fell.
Okay.
But that was my first release.
You know, while you're also creating this folk opera, you also have another life that you're also continuing on with and touring as well. How do you find time to do all this? Do you ever sleep?
I don't know. It's been pretty crazy the last few weeks, for sure. But, you know, I always find that, like, when there's a project that I'm really excited about, it doesn't seem... like work. It really doesn't. It's like, and it's a lot of work, but the work is fun. It's really, in this project especially, because I oftentimes tour alone, and when I write, of course, I'm alone. It's such a delightful thing. It's a challenge and a delight to be working with so many other awesome people, performers, creators, and to really have a sense of like being part of a merry band of thieves and creating something that's a sum greater than the parts. So in that sense, it's been just like a vacation almost from my usual stuff.
Well, you see, Orpheus was able to move things with his music, and that seems what happens with us. His music kind of gives us an energy that, you know, that we just kind of thrive on.
don't
yeah,
you think?
Yeah, yeah. You know, I was thinking in the car today about this line from Romeo and Juliet when somebody asks Romeo, like, how did you get over the wall? And he says, on love's light wings, or with love's light wings did I o'erperch these walls. And that phrase is so beautiful, and I think it means a lot. You know, like, on love's light wings, you can do a lot of things that you couldn't do if it was the daily grind.
You have such passion for the classics.
Oh!
is this something that you've always had, or is this something that you acquired through school?
Geez, I don't know. You know, in a lot of ways, people keep saying, like, oh, you must be really into Greek mythology and stuff. And the truth is, I don't really know that much about it. This story, like, really spoke to me. And I remember hearing about this story since I was very young. And those Greek stories are so, I feel like they live on because they're like a plummeting hole of symbolism. You know, you can't get into them without falling into that magic rabbit hole of all of the metaphors that come up. I got really into Joseph Campbell actually last year, and he has written some really beautiful stuff about mythology and the ways that myths are, you know, the same myths crop up in all across the world, mm-hmm. and how that sort of proves that they're a fundamental part of the human psyche and stuff.
Yeah, amazingly enough, there's not a lot of original thought.
Yeah, that's so true.
You're listening to a pre-recorded visit we had with Aeneas Mitchell about 12 years ago. We're talking about Hadestown. It just won 8 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. This is The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio.
The new movie Emmanuel is about a mass shooting at a South Carolina church in 2015.
Felicia Sanders looked at me and she said, Reverend Thompson, Mao is gone.
The husband of one of the victims sits down with Rachel Martin to share his story of despair and forgiveness.
I mean, it just brought me to tears. And I feel that same peace right now today.
On the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition, weekdays from 5 to 9 here on New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and the Flying Monkey Performance Center presenting Arlo Guthrie on August 3rd. Tickets at flyingmonkeynh.com. Now we return to our 2007 visit with Aeneas Mitchell. We're here in the studio with Aeneas Mitchell at the Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. What a treat it is to have a little preview here of Hadestown, the new folk opera from Aeneas Mitchell and company. What's the most exciting part about this folk opera for you, Aeneas?
Wow, that's a big question. Well, I think, like I was saying, that just the aspect of working in a group is probably the most exciting thing for me.
You're with an ensemble, and you usually tour maybe with just a guitarist. Maybe Michael is your guitarist.
Right. I usually tour solo or, mm-hmm. or with one side man, and it's great to just to be on a stage full of people, and we're all, you know, trying to do the same thing. That's really cool. And the other thing I think that's really exciting and different from what I usually do is the aspect of telling a story with a cycle of songs. You know, I love songs and like songwriting and the form, and I go to a lot of songwriter shows and love them. And yet I notice that oftentimes, like 40 minutes into the set, I get a little fatigue, you know, a sort of a song fatigue, and I feel like, I don't know, stepping outside, and I wonder why that happens. And then I also notice myself I'll watch a terrible movie all the way to the end, you know, because I believe so firmly that I'm going to be delivered someplace by the story, and that the story is going to pick me up at point A and drop me off someplace else. And I think like the cathartic, sort of emotionally cathartic power of story is something that I'd love to sort of work into my songwriting. So this is a great opportunity to try to do that.
So where do you want your audiences delivered to?
Oh, well, with this show? Well, in general, I love to be moved to tears by a show, you know? And it often happens for me with music theater in a way that a straight play might not, because I think music has that power to be so expressive of things that we don't really know how to express in words or in staging. And so I would hope that it's an emotionally cathartic experience, that people identify with Orpheus and his desire and his optimism and his belief, and that they go along for the ride with him, which is of course not easy. It's a tragic story, but I think it's one that is transformative, and that's why it's stuck around for so long. The other thing, I mean, I love the emotional element of things I love, and I also love just this show, especially with the staging we've got and the score and the lyrics, which are very dense, almost like, and I write in a pretty dense way, but I almost was free to take a more poetic hand with this stuff, a more almost melodramatic or dorky, like when I get into the heads of these characters, the things they say, I would never be caught dead saying them as Aeneas Mitchell, but if I was Eurydice, I could say them. And I love the sort of just the metaphor and the poetic aspect of the show, meaning poetry in a musical and a visual way as well. So I hope that it's for audiences like a real stepping into another world where anything is possible.
Aeneas Mitchell's here in the studio at New Hampshire Public Radio. Do you want to play another one for us?
Yeah, sure. This song, I guess I should mention that Hades, the king of the underworld, is building a great wall all around Hadestown. And the premise of what we got going this year is that Persephone, who is associated with the changing of the seasons because she lives in the underworld half the year and then above ground half the year, has been sort of trapped underground by Hades in his excess. And so the above ground world is an uninhabitable one, and below ground, we've got like an extreme security state kind of thing going on. And I think later I'm going to play the song that Hades sings about the wall. But this song I want to do now is Persephone's song. And she lives in the underworld, and she has got sort of a backdoor thing going on where she smuggles goods in from the living world above ground. And she has like a speakeasy sort of situation. And her crown jewel is a little... it's a like a binocular machine, like you might see at Niagara Falls or whatever. And it's pointed at a crack in the wall of the underworld, and you can look through it and see the night sky. And you got all that? Okay, so this is her song. She speaks to Orpheus in this song. I don't know about you boys, but if you're like me, then hanging around this old manhole is bringing you down. 6 feet under, getting under your skin. Cabin fever is setting in, and you're stir crazy, stuck in a rut. You could use a little pick me up. I can give you what it is you crave. A little something from the good old days. Hey, I got the wind right here in a jar. I got the rain on tap at the bar. I got the sunshine up on the shelf. Allow me to introduce myself. Hey, brother, what's my name? My name is Our Lady of the Underground. Brother, what's my name? Our Lady of Ways. Our Lady of Means. Brother, what's my name? My name is Our Lady of the Upside Down. Brother, what's my name? I'll tell you my name. Persephone. Brother, let me guess. It's the little things you miss. Spring flowers, autumn leaves. Ask me, brother, and you shall receive.
Or maybe these just ain't enough. Maybe you're looking for some stronger stuff. I got a sight for the sorest eye. When's the last time you saw the sky? Wipe away your tears, brother. Brother, I know how you feel. I can see you're blinded by the sadness of it all. Look a little closer and everything will be revealed. Look a little closer. There's a crack in the wall. You want stars? I got a sky full. Put a quarter in the slot, you'll get an eyeful. You want the moon? Yeah, I got her too. She's right here waiting in my pay-per-view. How long's it been? A little moonshine ain't no sin. One at a time, boy, straight line. What the boss don't know, the boss won't mind.
From Hadestown, Anais Mitchell here on The Folk Show at New Hampshire Public Radio. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You listen to NHPR to follow the events that affect many of us here in New Hampshire and beyond our borders, from the debates over immigration to rising sea levels to healthcare. Hey, I'm Lauren Chulgen, politics and policy reporter for NHPR. I'm asking you to contribute now to support your source for high-quality journalism. Your gift today will ensure that NHPR remains your reliable news source in the year to come. Contribute now at nhpr.org, and thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and UNH's part-time and online MBA. Flexible programs, either online, evenings in Manchester, Durham, or combined. GMAT optional. Fall application deadline, July 1st. mba.unh.edu. Back in 2007, we visited with Anais Mitchell when she introduced us to her folk opera called Hadestown. Any thoughts about moving this out of Vermont?
Well, we did tack that one show on in Boston. I would love to. You know, it's tricky because there's so many of us that to really tour, it just the expenses are so high. Mm-hmm. And but it seems as though we have a school bus that we're all going to drive around in, so that will help. And I'd say, yeah, like we would certainly love to go to New York, love to come to New Hampshire, you know, love to go to Buffalo maybe. It's just all a matter of somebody planning it.
Right, sure.
And it's not going to be me right. At this point. Anyway, we're going to try to get this run under our belt and then see what happens.
This is in your immediate future. Any plans to record another album? Have you been doing any writing for that?
Wow. Well, most of my work in the past like few months has been for this show. And I certainly am planning to make a record of it at some point. It's another thing that I'm trying not to think about until we get through with the shows, because you know, we learned so much last year when we put on the show. I think there are things you can see when you're on stage and when you have to you know, go start to finish. And I'm sure we're going to learn a ton about the show when we do this next run. And I guess I'm going to sort of wait and have a look at that and then think about making the album. But of course, yeah, I mean, I'm sort of ready to get back to Anais Mitchell songs in a few months.
Well, these are Anais Mitchell songs.
I guess so. I think of them as the songs of the characters.
Right, sure. But next, do you want to play something from the CD?
Sure, yeah. Why don't we play, okay, so there's one song on The Brightness that comes from the opera, and maybe two songs. This one is called How Long, and it's a duet between Hades and Persephone. Persephone has heard the music of Orpheus and goes back to her husband in their bedroom and appeals to him on Orpheus's behalf. So this is that song. And you'll get to hear some of the instrumentation. This is not the score, but it is Michael Czorny who produced it, so you can get a feel for the kinds of sounds that he likes to use.
This is The Folk Show with Aeneas Mitchell in our studio at New Hampshire Public Radio. From her album The Brightness and Hades and Persephone, or How Long. We have a guest in the studio this evening, Aeneas Mitchell. So glad you were able to come in with us.
I'm so glad too. Thank you so much for having me.
Big task this has been, huh?
Yeah, it's true. And it's not over yet.
I can't imagine.
I feel really grateful to be part of a community that can make something like this happen.
Costumes?
Oh, yeah. I don't want to give anything away, but there certainly are. The design elements of this show actually are just through the roof. Like last year we had very little budget and very little time, and this year we've just had a lot more sort of liberty to stretch out, and so I think people are going to be really, really blown away by how it looks.
Aeneas Mitchell is our guest in the studio this evening. Want to play one final track for us? Oh, but you know what? Before you do that, I have to ask you, the moral of this story for you?
Oh, wow. Well, this story is so tricky and because it doesn't have a happy ending, you know, and you can't figure out why. Like, what, he comes so close to getting her back, and then he turns, it's almost it's so ironic. I mean, he turns around at the last minute and loses her forever. And I have wrestled with that a lot. Like, why does that happen? Wanted to change it. Wanted to him to live happily ever after, things like that. I think that for me, it's still inspiring how close he comes, you know, that he is able to move the heart of stone, which is the heart of the king, and through the power of his songs and his stories. And I think that's a very real and inspiring part of the story. And as far as the end of the story and why he turns back, the only thing I can make of it is that it's a question of his belief in himself, you know, and how it's one thing to be a great musician, you know, to have this gift and to be offering it when there are people around him telling him that this is great. But on that final walk when he's ascending from the underworld, it's just complete silence and darkness. And he can't, there's some lines that Hades sings about how every coward seems courageous in the safety of the crowd. Uh-huh. And bravery can be contagious when the band is playing loud. Nothing makes a man so bold as a woman's smile and a hand to hold. But all alone his blood runs thin and doubt comes in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sort of, that's sort of the direction we've gone, is that Orpheus, in the final test, when he has to pull out his gift in the absence of any kind of feedback, mm-hmm. He can't actually do it.
It's very powerful.
Yeah.
And don't we all have to do that? We have to, you know, fear can be a sabotage any setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we're alone, we're probably more fearful, don't you think?
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much, Aeneas, for sharing this major accomplishment with us here at New Hampshire Public Radio. You want to finish up with one last song?
Sure, yes. I'll play the little Hadestown anthem. This song is one that Hades sings to his worker citizens as he indoctrinates them into his weird circular logic. It's a call and response, and it's called Why We Build the Wall. Why do we build the wall, my children, my children? Why do we build the wall? Why do we build the wall? We build the wall to keep us free. That's why we build the wall. We build a wall to keep us free. How does the wall keep us free? My children, my children. How does the wall keep us free? How does the wall keep us free? The wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. Who do we call the enemy? My children, my children. Who do we call the enemy? Who do we call the enemy? The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. Because we have and they have not, my children, my children, 'cause they want what we have got. Because we have and they have not, 'cause they want what we have got. The enemy is poverty, the wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall. We build a wall to keep us free. And what do we have that they should want? My children, my children. What do we have that they should want? What do we have that they should want? We have a wall to work upon. We have work in
they have none, and our work is never done. My children, and the war is never won. The enemy is poverty, and the wall keeps out the enemy, and we build a wall to keep us free. That's why we build a wall to keep us free. We build a wall to keep us free.
Anais Mitchell, thank you very much for coming by the Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio.
Thank you, Kate.
Since our visit in 2007 with Anais Mitchell, she recorded many albums, including a compilation album, Hadestown, which included such favorites as Anita Franco and Greg Brown. That was in 2010. She recorded Young Man in America in 2012, Child Ballads in 2013. As you know, her Hadestown was turned into a stage show. She collaborated with director Rachel Chavkin and received its U.S. debut at New York Theater Workshop in the summer of 2016. It debuted at the Citadel Theater in Canada and Edmonton the following year. The show opened at London's National Theater on November 18th and then on Broadway on April 17th, 2019 at the Walter Kerr Theater. And last week won 8 Tony Awards. Here's what the late Bill Morrissey had to say about Anais Mitchell. Songwriters that you're paying attention to these days, anybody that has a message that you'd make sure you don't want to miss?
There's a very young woman, I think she's about 23 or 24, from Vermont. I heard this summer, then we just recently worked together in New London, named Anais Mitchell. And she has a very distinctive voice, and I think she's a very intelligent writer.
I heard a song that she did. I think it's called The Gift of the Magi. It's on a sampler, and I just thought it was an amazing song.
I think she's a very intelligent writer. And what struck me the most was, I couldn't believe she was 23. She had such poise on stage. She's very comfortable and at ease on stage. And when I was 23, I was just checking to make sure my fly was up when I was on stage, you know.
And was it?
Usually, yeah.
Again, congratulations to Anais Mitchell for her great success with Hadestown, recently winning 8 Tony Awards. Thanks for listening to The Folk Show here at New Hampshire Public Radio. Support for NHPR comes from you, our listeners, and from Vermont Coffee Company, organic coffee in the brown paper bag. Available at local grocery stores. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends. This is NHPR.